Okay. No Hebrews today. We're going to start off what I said was like a Mother's Day message, kind of. It's not just for mothers, but it should be beneficial for all of us. I think it'll be beneficial. Even as we spend time in it, it has to have some profit, right? So let's start off with 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. So as I was saying, I was coming over and I was thinking of, since it's Mother's Day, to how can we have a Mother's Day message that's beneficial for everybody? Because a lot of churches now, you're going to have a Mother's Day message that exalts the mother. And I thought, really, it's a good opportunity just for us to be reacquainted with some things that God has done that includes the woman. Wouldn't you like to hear about that? So, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to start at verse 1 and read down to verse 12. That's a lot of verses, but we're going to try to read down that far. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all things of God. But all things of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today as we look into these things as that pertains to the woman and the man and the things of you. We pray that the message would be clear, that it may come forth with the power of the Holy Spirit, that it might strengthen us and encourage us in Christ, as well as educate us as to our purpose and plan in Christ. We pray for each individual here, Lord, to open our hearts and minds to receive it. And we pray for the body universal. We pray for those who have the rule and authority over us. Lord, once again, as we go forward, we just thank you for your word. And we pray that this time will be glorifying to you and edifying for the saints. In these things we pray. Amen. Okay. I wanted to use that because when you look at the last verse, it says, for as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. And that's what I wanted to, I was coming over thinking, and from when you go back to Genesis, you think about God is, and this is consistent with, we've been going over the grace. We just finished up the grace of God. And what is God's greatest gift?
God's greatest gift is grace.
Say it again. What is God's greatest gift? You said himself? Yes, himself in the person of his son, of Jesus Christ. But what is his second greatest gift?
Reconciliation, salvation.
Being created.
Us being created.
Giving us the opportunity to work alongside him.
Giving us the opportunity to work alongside him. That's good. That's good. So you're thinking about the plan that's consistent with his grace. His second greatest gift. You want to take a guess at it? Huh?
No.
Nope. Oh. She said me? No. But I thought she was saying me.
No.
She would have been right. God's second greatest gift is you. It's the woman.
Now, why is that rather to see the created man first? So why would you say that woman is there?
All right. He said, why would you say that? That's a good question. Now, I thought about this. He said this. We just read the verse. For, he says, nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Now, the only reason I said that, the woman, was because when you think about God's plan, what is God's plan?
To repossess the earth, heaven and the earth.
That's right. His plan, I just use that as abbreviation. When he creates Adam, he said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, right? He puts him in the garden. He tells, he creates everything first. Adam, he creates on the sixth day. And then he says to Adam to name. He brought all the animals unto him. And he says, whatever he called them, that's what they would be. Right?
Yeah.
But he already puts him there. He already puts Adam in the garden. He knows that Adam, he know where Adam fits in his program. When the Hebrews came out of Egypt, and they were going to take them into, God's going to take them into the promised land, he told them, I think we talked about this, he told them to go in
and
dispossess the land. That means whoever what?
Conquer anybody in your way.
And
also means that the land had been usurped.
Whoever was in there, they were to be dispossessed, and the Israelites were to what?
Repossess.
Now, I don't want to get too far off, but as they went in to Egypt, how many went in?
Oh, you meant 70 that went in initially?
How many went in?
I don't know. Talking about
huh?
At the end, none of it?
No, I meant how many went into Egypt?
Oh,
okay. Or into, yeah. Who went? When they went into Egypt, they went in what?
70.
How many came out?
About too many.
He said it was
like 600,000. And with wives and children.
600,000 besides women and children. So what happened while they were in Egypt?
They were
they certainly weren't repossessing that land.
No, but they were repopulating. They went in and multiplied.
They were multiplying us for us.
How did they do that?
What?
Reproduction.
By reproduction, right? You remember, well, that wasn't Pharaoh's idea, was it? He said, listen, I need you to do what to those babies?
Oh, the midwives to abort them.
To abort them. He said, look, they're getting more than we are. After a while, he knew that the tables would be turned. And it says, we can't keep up.
They're lively.
Exodus. See that?
We read that verse last week. Lively.
We quoted that verse last week. We don't read it this week. Exodus. Is it Exodus?
They were forming the ark.
Chapter 1. Verse 1. Now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man according to his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, and Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was what?
Beautiful.
Does that sound familiar? When I say, does that sound familiar? Does this sound familiar? They were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly, and the land was filled with them. And God placed the man in the garden and said unto him, be what? Be fruitful and what? Multiply and what? Fill the land. Does that sound familiar? Okay. Noah gets off the boat. He says, be what? Fruitful and what? Multiply and fill the land. Now. Say it again? Okay. I thought somebody said something.
Margie didn't hear you.
Oh, okay. You didn't hear what part?
Noah.
Oh, just that he was to be fruitful and multiply and fill the land.
He was given the same command as Adam.
He was given the same command. Okay. Verse 16. Oh, boy.
Sure, we'll get through all those points.
That's 12.
Yes.
12. But the, okay, wow. Okay, 8. I'm sorry. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph, and he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Phithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. And all their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shipra, and the other, the name was Pua. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, If it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men, children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men, children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered, and are delivered ere the midwives come in to them. That means they were having the babies, what?
Without a midwife.
Before they can help them. Or not help them.
Right.
Before they can hinder them.
Yeah.
Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them what?
Houses.
What? Houses? That didn't mean he made them a house.
They weren't a brick house.
They might have been a brick house, but not that kind of brick house. He made them houses. No. She said, like the house of David. What does that mean?
Spiritual royalty.
Yes.
Okay. See this? This is good. House. This is a lady. This is a giveaway, right? That's red lipstick. That's a lady. That's the house right there. Right. They got pregnant themselves. That's what the house means. This. When he says they greatly
lineage.
The house of Israel, right. It's where the seed comes from.
Right.
You ever heard this expression? That this was a song. And it says, for the 9 months I carried you, no charge. That was a gospel song. But when you carry a child, they use that terminology sometimes, that they house the baby. You ain't never heard of that? Yeah. But not just that. When you look at the word daughter, In Hebrew, it has the sense of housing. I'll say this. House for the son.
Daughter is house for the son.
I'm saying in the Hebrew word, the word is a contraction. But anyway, this you can search that out. I don't want to get tied up with that.
But it says daughter.
The
definition is house for a man.
House
for the son.
The daughter, right? Daughter is that's the word. Okay, Genesis 6.
Is that Hebrew or what is the language?
Yeah, that's Hebrew, right. Genesis 6. Yeah, we're going to have to put this in fast forward. that's not going to work out. Genesis 6. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he is also flesh. Yet his days shall be 120. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and what?
They had children.
And they bare the children unto them. To them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. Now, the reason I went there is because they came in, the sons of God came into the what?
Daughters of men.
To the daughters of men. And, oh, did that to hold my place. They came into the daughters of men, and they did what?
Procreation.
They had children. Look, that's what when God put Eve in the garden, he said to them, be what? Fruitful. And what? And replenish. How can that happen?
Through sexual reproduction.
That was the whole purpose of the woman, was to reproduce and multiply and replenish. God designed her to be a house. For what?
For the man.
For sons, and in particular, what?
The son.
The son. That's why Jesus Christ is called the seed of what?
The woman.
Of the woman. Okay. But that's in keeping with God's plan. That was the plan for the man and the woman.
And that you couldn't have the one without the other.
You can't have the one without the other. So the purpose was, we saw it, was to what? Reproduce.
What were these people like that were the offspring of these giants?
Men of renown. Mighty men of renown.
So you're talking about Samson and people like that?
Like Goliath,
okay.
And people like that.
Not Samson.
But not Samson. So, but we see the people that involved. You had the man and the woman. Now we know that the two were what? The
one
two
flesh.
Were one flesh. That means not only was she taken from man, but God had also instituted the reproductive process, where when he did create everything, everything had its own seed in itself,
after its own kind.
Reproduced image.
See, this man is on it. He already knows. Which, does that make sense when you put all this together? Doesn't it make sense? Now,
man was supposed to work as one for God's plan and purpose throughout history.
That's it. Let me ask you something. If Adam had never sinned and everything went as planned, and you have the man and the woman, and then they begin to reproduce. What condition would their seed be in?
Perfection.
So if Adam was in the image of God, and he never failed, and he continued in that image, and you didn't have Genesis 5.
You know, if right now. Right?
If, hypothetical. So, he would pass on what?
His image.
Perfect image all the way. Unless one of them messed it up down the line.
Unless one of them.
Right. But
then you'd have some left over, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Perfect.
So, they have a son. They have Cain and Abel.
Right.
right? Which he was killed. Huh? Not. But when Adam did have from this one that fell, was he brought an offering that was what? That was good. He brought an offering that was what?
Of his own hands.
Of his own will. He brought one that was what?
God's
will. This one kills that one. And then it says, well, she says, I got another one.
A man from the Lord.
But after that, after they fall, he says, now it's what? It's in his image, in Adam's image. So, anyway, that's not to just keeping up with what Blake said. So you see that man and woman were to be one flesh, right? That was, and not, marriage is between a man and a woman. It is, it's just the type of man. We just read in Corinthians that God is the image, or the Jesus Christ is the image of God, right? Jesus Christ is the image of God, and man is the image of Christ, and the woman,
the glory of the man,
is the image and glory of the man. So we'll keep that in mind. And then he starts talking about this relationship, where he says, these two are together. They cannot work independently of one another successfully. So when you have a marriage and it's not working properly, it's out of order, right? Somebody is out of order, and we might get that far. But he said that's just the type. If the church, if the man worship and serve Christ, you think he'd do right by her?
Yeah.
Now, just by default, she can go higher than him in worship and serve Christ also. Because you're getting it, it's going downhill, right? Ultimately, everyone what worships and serves the Father.
So these people, I want to get back in. These people we say that are sons of God and the wicked or the giants of those days, is that in stature or is that from the standpoint of spiritual endowment? Who are these giants who we're speaking of?
Well, we might get to that afterwards. I don't want to.
Okay.
Yeah, you way on the left. Come on back to the right. We won't. So that's just a type. They're the typology. That means that this relationship stands for something else. So we got the people involved here. The man, he's like the he is the image of God. The woman is the image and glory of the man. That means that she's working in conjunction with the man, and she is to what?
Reverence
the man. Now, the process by which they were to do it, we know that that's by reproduction, right?
That's the help meet.
The help meet.
Yeah.
Just like Adam was a help meet with God. In Hebrews, Peter says this. He says that the husbands are to dwell with the women, their wives, according to knowledge. Okay. Hebrews Because I'm going to misquote it. I said Hebrews. I meant Peter. First Peter chapter 3. Verse 1.
So I can the Lord when he was on earth, and he says, I can do nothing but my Father, what I've seen him in the same way as the way the relationship with the man and the woman is supposed to work. They're of one mind, one.
That's the key, is what? One mind. One mind. One spirit. One goal.
Which is why when he talks in Ephesians about the husband and the wife, he says, this is a great mystery, but I speak of Christ. Sure.
Right. I was watching Drumline yesterday. You ever seen Drumline? Where the guy, he was like, one band, one sound. he was caught up in his own solo. And he said, when you're out there, nobody hears you. They want to hear the band. So God wants one mind. What does he mean when he says one mind?
Like-minded.
What is the like-minded? What would be like-mindedness? Even for believers, where Paul says us that we should be like-minded. Let this mind
be in you
that was also let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to talk about that mind. You know what he says about that mind?
Yeah, about him humbling himself and being a servant.
Being an same purpose. And it was the purpose was this. I just want to do what the Father wants me to do.
And to do that, you have to understand what God's doing today, which is why we have to study and write the divide, or we're following instructions for someone else.
That's it. That's so he says.
Thank you. Worship.
See that? See.
Worship.
Chapter 3.
According to.
Right. Verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, and that if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now that conversation, that's your lifestyle. He wouldn't say without the word and then turn around and say let your conversation speak for itself. When he says without the word, you don't have to go around reproving him and rebuking him, telling him what he's not. She said, just put on your role.
Live in accordance with.
Put on your role. Right. He says this. And while they behold, there it is. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, great price. You know, in this day, just to deviate, where everybody is focused on the external appearance. You know, ladies spend a lot of times, a lot of time and money on the external. Make sure my hair looks right. My clothes are right. My makeup is right. That I look great. And I'm talking about believers. I'm not talking about those that are without. I'm talking about those who profess godliness, that they spend a lot of time on the external. But God said this, what's a great value to me is how you dressed on the inside. Have you put on the new man? The new man, here you go. The new man, which is created in knowledge after
God.
All right, hold your hand there. Colossians. Colossians, hold your hand in. Colossians chapter 3. You know, the ladies can have a new, they have a new man too, right?
Sure.
Ladies have a new man too.
Right, because in the body, there's a male and female.
When I say ladies have a new man, that is the inner man. When you're saved, the new man is in you. That's the spirit. This regenerates your old spirit, the new man. When I say new man is in you, I don't mean that. That's what I mean. You looked like, what are you talking about?
It doesn't mean that our Y, our X comes up Y.
He says, Colossians 3:9. He says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the what?
Old man,
that's the flesh. The old man, which is... I'm sorry, put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after
the image
of him that what? Created him. Now, back to Peter, is the new man is created in what? Knowledge after the image. His whole goal is to get you thinking the way God wants you to think. The new man.
Renewing your mind.
Because the new man is after restoring the image. Okay. He says in Peter, he says, but let it be with the hidden man of the heart. That's the new man. In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being what? Verse 5.
Subjection.
Being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. That is, as long as he's not forcing you to do what he says do. You know, there's a lot of abusive relationships where
he is in subjection, is what you're both in subjection together.
Right. And he's, see this, you can't, this is consistent where with law and grace. If a woman is in a relationship where she's forced to obey, that's not loving reverence and gratitude or service, is it? That's out of fear.
An obligation.
And God says, that's not how I want you to serve. Right? He says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, this is for Peter, but he says, what I like is this. He says, being heirs together. Being heirs together, he said, of the grace of life. I like that. He said the whole purpose when we went to Corinthians, he said you don't function independently. He said when the beginning, that's what he said this. He said in the beginning, he made a male and female, and they were what?
One flesh.
That's before sin entered. Before sin entered, you know what? Adam can say, you know what? I got to help what?
Meat.
I got to help meat. I got, he said, it's bone of my bones and what?
Flesh
of my flesh. We're what?
One.
He didn't have to worry about her doing something that he didn't approve of.
And not only that, but the words he spoke were 46.
So, he says, now, they were heirs together. They were heirs together of the grace of life. The very purpose that they were designed for, they could carry it out. From what we learned about grace, and he says, heirs together of the grace of life, you can see that God had, he has a lot invested in a godly marriage, in godly women. And he said they'll be heirs together, beneficial for both. And he said, that's why you dwell with them according to knowledge. As unto the weaker vessel. Now you know, he said, giving what?
Honor.
You know what? And I'm not a woman, but I'm just going to take a stab at this. You know what? A lot of women, because they don't get honor, you know what? They start to, they feel less like I'm not just here. You know what? I got a mind. I'm not just a body walking around here. I got a mind, and they want input. They want to have input. They want to feel like there's some worth that they do bring to the table, and they do. But because we don't dwell with them according to knowledge, most of the men, they don't realize the stuff that we go over here is, that's spiritual. That's God's design. So that's when you get to the problems. When you don't realize what your purpose and role is, ultimately, even if you never marry as a man or a woman, he says, that's okay. Because he said this, every man, and this is the Corinthians, have his proper gift to God. Proper gift. Proper, same word. He said this, and this is Jesus said this in the Gospels. He said, there's some men that make themselves eunuchs for the kingdom. And in Corinthians, Paul said this. He said that every man has his proper gift. He said, if you choose, 1 Corinthians.
Seven.
Let's see. Not quite. Where is that? Is that 7?
Mm-hmm.
7:7?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. He says, For I would that all men were even as myself. And this is Paul. He says, I speak this by permission and not by commandment. He says, I would that all men were even as myself. And you got to ask yourself, what? What did he? What was he? What was he? He was. When he said, what would thou have me to do? He was speaking for himself. See, and that's the thing. If you're in a relationship, it's always individual first. Paul says, what would thou have me to do, Lord? You can say, what would thou have us to do? Because one or the other may not be on board with that. You can only speak for yourself because it's individual. And he says every man has his what? Proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. He says, I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide what? Even as I. So we know that Paul was either unmarried or what?
Widow.
Or a widow.
More than likely a widow, or he wouldn't have been
a Pharisee. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. And then he says to look at verse 29:25. He says, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren, that the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong what? To the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord, what? Without distraction. Now, at that time, the situation where Paul was saying, he expected the Lord to come at any time, which we do too, don't we? But he's saying this: if you're not married, he said, don't look to get married. If you're married, don't look to get loosed. His whole goal was this: was what? To focus on what? On the Lord. Because Paul knew
his marriage was a divided attention.
He knew, and even with that, it's properly working. You still, like we just read, you become heirs together. But the chances of a man and a wife being on the same page all the time is rare, because He may be subject one day and you won't. You may be subject one day and he won't.
Is this kind of reflective of how much the world in the scripture? It's not that God changes, but from what was commanded in Genesis with first Adam and Eve and then Noah, and where we have come to this point.
Well, that comes with the problems.
Yeah.
Because this is how far, when you talk about God's intention. For example, the Pharisees, remember they caught Jesus and they said the brothers had the woman. And he said, whose wife? Whose wife will she be in the resurrection? And he said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. He said, for in the resurrection, they neither marry or are given in marriage, but they are as the angels of God. Well, what is that?
Direct sons. They're sons. Sons of God.
Okay.
Created beings.
All right. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Chapter 1.
Oh, yeah. There, you remember that one, yeah.
He says this. Yes. Chapter 1. He says, and again, when he bringeth, verse 6, in the first begotten, when he, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers.
Yeah.
A flame of fire. And when you, the angels, remember when Gabriel appeared to Daniel,
and he had been fighting,
and he said this, he says, I heard you, he said, and I'm here to deliver the message to you. And he says, I stand in the presence of God for this very purpose, is to be a minister. Whatever God wants, that's what I do. That's the only reason I'm here. He says, that's my job, is the messenger of God. I'm here to worship and serve him. That's it. That's why he talks about the ones who did fall, left their first estate and their habitation, and went after, well, anyway. So what Karen was talking about, that you think about this in Romans, he says all have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. In Romans 1, he says this, for this cause he gave them up to vile affections. You think you have any marriage problems from acting in the flesh? He says, for this cause he gave them up to vile affections, that they might do the things that are not convenient. He says that the men, he said, they began to be with what?
Lust after each other.
To be men with men.
Yeah, the natural use.
Chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. He says, verse 26, for this cause, you know, it's interesting that in Genesis 1:26, he talks about why he created the man. And in Romans 1:26, he talks about how the women, he says, how they lost the purpose. He says, for this cause, I tell you what, back up a little bit, back up to verse 22. Oh boy. He says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and to and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto what?
Vile
affections. Notice this. He says, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. So he takes the building blocks that he started with, right? Mm-hmm. And he says, he starts with this. He says, even the what? I don't sound like that, but I liked his expression. Is this? He says, it reminds me of Johnny Carson, where he, you know, where he says, "This is so bad," and then they would say, "How bad is it?" He says, "It's so bad." He says,
even.
"That even the women left their natural use." Remember that order we talked about? She says, the man's not for the woman, but the woman for what? For the man. He said, it's so bad that the... Can I say this? That the only reason that you are here, you left.
Or that you're primary. How about that?
You're primary. Yeah, thank you. He said...
Contribution.
But you're right. That you're your most meaningful role... To help this man and really God that you neglected. He says, even the women. And then he said, likewise you. He said, you left my purpose. Both of you left my purpose. Wow.
And you see that in varying degrees. I mean, same outcome, but varying degrees.
Right. See, listen, you could be in the Lord and still fall short of His purpose. Because all you have to do is yield to the flesh. Stop your knowledge process. Stop the renewing of your mind, and you'll be in that category.
Sure.
First Timothy.
The man is honoring the woman will not go to that wild affection. So it's the man's responsibility to see to it that the woman does not fall.
I wish it was that easy.
But God put man over woman. Okay? And it's man's responsibility to care for her.
Now, you know.
And to care for her, he's supposed to carry the knowledge of the Lord.
There you go. That's God talking to his own. That's why he says in Ephesians 5, he said, okay, husbands. Husbands, make them do this.
No.
Love as, which is as a servant.
Nah. Watch this. We're going to get both of those. We're going to get both of those passages. And we're going to try to squeeze it in the next few minutes. 1 Timothy first. First Timothy chapter 1. Chapter 2. Verse 9. 1 Timothy 2:9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Watch this next verse. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. He said, now, the woman was, she was deceived. How was she deceived? Because she
usurped
acted
the plans of the husband.
You know what? This is a, she just, you know what? She really, she made her own decision. She made a headless decision. She made a change of command. Now, we quote these verses all the time. It's a plaque at our house right now. It says, somebody gave it to us, lean not unto thy what?
Own
understanding, but what?
And
in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? See that? Now, she could have said, let me check the order here. She said, let me get my information from the head. And then he'll say, well, let me get mine from the head. And he said, no, we can't eat that. But yeah, we can do it. Bam. He says, yeah, we can do it. She just did it. She took it, ate it, and then she gave it to him to eat. And really is
she violated the order.
The right. She usurped the position.
It cost her.
Okay, so that's where you get usurped from. You're talking about the woman usurping her position.
Right.
Okay, I didn't get that before.
And listen, all this comes down to the Word of God. Now this is simplified, but it all comes down to the response about God's Word. He said this, now they'll be saved. That's why he said this. If they continue in faith with charity and holiness with sobriety, is this, if they get back to what God ordained their role to be, then they can, if you had a godly daughter, then she would be less likely to repeat some errors from a less than godly woman. You know, I'm from Detroit, and we would always say, women in the North are different than women in the South. So women in the South, they had good spiritual upbringing. So they know how to keep the house, love their husbands, love their children. So that was then. That was, you talking about years. But now we've had time to, like you said, we've had time to fall deeper and deeper into sin and deeper into the flesh. If Paul said this, even their women back then, what do you think is happening in 2018?
It was even more
accepted.
See, now it's not even debased. It's not even, listen, it's not even, they just completely circumvented the process. And to make you like it, accept it, and fight for it, and support it. Now,
What's wrong is right now.
Ephesians, we're going to stop here. And this is what Bob, when Bob said that, he said, now what's the answer to this? Where the only way to get this right is, number one, it starts on an individual basis. You can't go into it like a group. And I say to ladies who are not married, is you don't get a man and then try to bring him up to what you want him to be. And likewise, men, you don't go get a woman and try to bring her up to what you want her to be. Is that's why he says, in the Lord. He said this, Ephesians 5. He says, 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, because the days are evil, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you know what? Be filled with the Spirit. That is, listen to what God has to say. And he says this, submitting yourselves one to another in the what?
Fear
of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. As what? Unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, because Christ is the head and the Savior, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, that's a whole lot that we won't get into, but he says that's how you recover what was intended in the beginning. And then you realize, for a woman, how important your role is in God's plan. Even if you didn't even have kids, it's still a example. He says, you treat him as unto what?
The Lord.
As unto the Lord. And the same way with the husband is that you treat her as what?
He's going to be the bride of the church.
As he, Right, just like what I've done, you do. And he says, now you do it like you're doing it to me. You reverence him like it's me. Now, what will keep you from doing that is that you're not filled with spirit, which means that at that time, you haven't taken in his word, which makes you unwise and not understanding what the will of the Lord is.
Or you're in the flesh.
Which is right at that moment. So, and like I said, that was a very, very condensed version. So I hope it was a little, beneficial for all, women and men alike. And that'll give us something to go home, chew on, kind of plant some seeds for you to go further. So, and happy Mother's Day. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the time we spend in it. We pray that you would take these things, and as we meditate on them, Lord, that you might reveal your message to us as we continue to read and study. We thank you again for those here. Lord, strengthen us according to our needs as we go to our various places. And we pray again that this time was for your glory and for our edification. And we just thank you for this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Mm-hmm.